the primary goal of the mission is to bring samples back from a near-Earth asteroid, and not just any asteroid, but a carbonaceous asteroid, a primitive asteroid that has, or we think will have, organic materials.
We won't actually get these samples returned to Earth until around 2023, 2024. That's still some distance in the future. Why the lag in time?
NASA has several different levels of missions, and there are some that NASA drives themselves, and then others that they request proposals from the community. And so they're really driven by the scientists in the planetary science community. And this is one of those. And then at that point, every mission is new and unique. And so not only do we have to think about the science that we want to achieve, but we have to design and build the spacecraft and all of the instrumentation, the cameras and everything that are going to go on the spacecraft, and then launch it. And these bodies aren't right next door. You know, it takes a little time to get there. In this case, we want to get to this asteroid, and we want to spend time at the asteroid characterizing the asteroid and deciding where it is we want to sample from. And so we have about a year of operations around orbiting the asteroid, characterizing its surface before we even try to pick up a sample. And then it takes a little time to get back.
There are close to 500,000 confirmed asteroids in the asteroid belt, and maybe untold thousands more we don't know about or haven't confirmed yet. So why fly to this one, which is kind of clunkily named 1999 RQ36? What's so special about that asteroid?
Well, certainly not that designation. The main thing that we wanted to do was to sample an asteroid that we think is primitive. And by primitive, I mean it hasn't been altered very much from the time that planets were forming. The interesting thing about asteroids is that they're the remnants of that were left over from planet formation. So they've been sitting out there in space for 4.5 billion years, ever since the planets formed, and we wanted one of the most primitive, and this is one of those class. So that was one criterion for selecting. And a second was that it be easily accessible. There aren't that many asteroids that we can get to and get back from very easily. And so that pushed us towards a near-Earth asteroid, an asteroid that has an orbit that's similar to the Earth's orbit. And there are very few of those, so that really cuts down the number of possibilities. RQ36 really stood out as the asteroid that we wanted to sample from.
And on a bit of a darker note, this particular asteroid, as you mentioned, is described as an NEO, a near-Earth object. And there's a chance that it could hit the Earth, or at least have a very, very close encounter sometime in the next century.
That's right. This asteroid, in fact, has one of the highest probabilities of hitting the Earth of any asteroid that we know of. It has a 1 in 2,500 chance of hitting the Earth in the late 2100s, like 2185 or something like that. And another goal of the mission is to understand non-gravitational forces that affect the orbits of asteroids. Small asteroids, it turns out, can be affected not just by gravity, but even by sunlight itself. And we want to understand those non-gravitational forces so that we can better predict orbits of asteroids, so we can better understand what the probabilities of impacts are in the future.
The Planetary Society and other organizations are helping sponsor a contest to name this asteroid, to give it something a bit more profound and catchier than 1999 RQ36. But there are some rules that actually govern how and why you can name a planetary object. What are some of those rules?
The person who discovered the asteroid gets the opportunity to propose a name. It's been kind of lax in the past, so there are some asteroids with some pretty non-technical names. You know, there's a Kirk and a Spock, and there are some named after programming languages and people's cats and things like that. So they've tightened up the rules a little bit. For near-Earth asteroids, or especially for a subset of near-Earth asteroids called potentially hazardous asteroids, so these that have some probability of hitting the Earth, there's no rule about how they have to be named, but they tend to be named after mythological characters of the underworld.
And that contest closes up on the 2nd of December. Do you know of any of the suggestions that have been submitted, or will all those be reviewed later?
There's a committee that's set up to review all of those, and I'm not actually on that committee. I understand that they've gotten something like 5,000 submissions already. But it is a contest that's still running. Any student from anywhere in the world under 18 is allowed to submit a suggestion. So certainly anyone out there listening now who has an idea for what to name an asteroid that could potentially hit the Earth could name it after your best friend or Or worst enemy.
All right. Well, Dr. Josh Emery is a planetary scientist who works at the University of Tennessee in Knoxville. He's also going to be an investigator on NASA's OSIRIS-REx mission, which, if all goes according to plan, is scheduled to lift off in 2016. Dr. Emery, thanks for being with us today.
Oh, thank you.